welcome back to another episode of Bombarded. I am your dungeon maestro, Kyle, and going around the table, we have...
Oh, what?
Table.
Hey, we talked about this last time. That's that we true. Weren't all doing right, this, right. So,
I'm
like,
Goodrich.
Are we doing it?
I'm Goodrich, and I play Razzle, son of Dazzle. This is weird.
Oh, but no. Yeah.
This is weird.
And I'm Spurrier, and I play Randy Greentrees.
And I'm Allie, and I play Yashi Bordoon.
Excellent.
And you're Kyle, and you play Yashi's mom. Let's go!
Everybody.
I play everyone else.
Yeah.
So, let me recap last episode real quick to get to where we are currently. So, going back, the bards, Greg and two kobolds, made their way to the main vault to introduce the bards to Monoxus. After these introductions were made and the talks of eliminating Vox Morts were dropped, Monoxus agrees to let them search for their key after some entertainment.
Wait. So backing up, why is everyone named Greg? Did we ever ask you that?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. If you want to know as players, cool. You won't know as characters, but...
Yes. Can we just say
it's,
yes?
It's a weird manipulative thing that Monoxus did to the kobolds and the goblins to get them to fight over who's going to serve her.
Oh, so in addition to her being like a literal toxic being, she's also like a toxic being.
Toxic being.
In
yes.
the mental sense. Well, good. Okay, great. Good job, Monoxus. Let's party.
So, but yeah, you played a song, you played a magical song for Monoxus, and your attempts to perform this magic song ended up in failure. The magic that you wound up generating just kind of seeped into the floor, and that, along with the backhanded compliments, kind of angered Monoxus and caused combat to actually ensue.
Oops.
But
not oops, we did that.
You did. But by the grace of chance, Razzle was able to de-escalate the situation and convince Monoxus that they were not there to slay her.
Yes.
And gave her a bunch of praise and all this other stuff,
yeah.
Catering to what she enjoys.
Which is great, because Razzle has really needed a win, quote unquote, since Rock Deep, I think. So
yeah.
No. Anyway.
But yeah, after she confirmed that yes, you're not here to kill her or slay her, you just want your dang key, she's like, okay, fine, find your key, then we'll talk after that. So you started looking for the key, and at this point, through some investigation and detecting of magic action, you uncovered a ton of gold and gems and magical equipment, but Yashi specifically noticed a hidden door in the corner of the vault. Now, this is the door that had the completed phrase from the front entrance of the vault, which Randy finally remembered because of the entire saying actually being there. Randy, transforming out of his, Donkey Kong getup, actually spoke the answer to the passphrase, and it revealed this secret vault inside the vault, you know, vaultception, kind of.
Yeah.
But inside, you found a butterfly net fused with transmutational magic that is meant to catch a specific butterfly. The last thing we heard was the voice of Zoltara Voxport booming out from the water side of the vault, declaring that this is the day Monoxus dies.
That's my mom.
That's your mom. Now, before we get into this, I want to let you three as players know that I'm going to be kind of more or less just summarizing battle, and I am going to give you moments to do things. Whenever I prompt you to do that, just treat it like a round of combat, and we'll see what you do.
Oh, because okay. The Vox Mort and Monoxus are probably going
to...
Because
everything that's about to happen.
Okay.
So
okay.
I will give you the classic Kyle what do, and
right.
You tell me what you do, essentially in the confines of like a round of combat.
Right.
But getting into it. So after you hear Zoltara Voxmort boom this declaration of Monoxus being defeated today, you hear a different voice command, light up! And you hear the shattering of glass, and then fire erupts in different spots around the vault, dimly illuminating the room. Stepping out of the pond across the room, you see 25, maybe 30 orcish-looking figures rushing forward into the room.
Delta Force.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It is very much Delta Force, because they start to break up into smaller units and spread apart in a tactical way. And then, at the center of the room, basked in firelight, is Zoltara Voxmort, yes. Holding a maul that has a large white stone with multicolored speckles on the head. Zoltara surveys the room with the other orcs. Her hair is dripping wet, and a lock of hair is stuck to her face. It's quiet for a moment, and I need to know, Chaos Sauce, what do?
Oh.
I mean, we don't know who this is. Randy and I don't really know, right? We're just like, nope. This is fun, I guess. So, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to whisper to you guys. Guys, that's my mom. That's my mom.
Oh, geez. go say hi, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, let's... I'm going to go... I'm probably going to go fight. I definitely want to go... I definitely want to be part of this.
Okay, and so as you're like saying that, Yashi, why don't you pass me the butterfly net? Because I know we don't want this to fall into the wrong hands, and I just might lay low, because lots of big orcs and dragons, I might get squished.
I'm going to kind of hang back, too. So this seems like...
You guys want to watch this go down?
Kind of.
We're in for quite a show.
Yeah.
And this seems like an issue between the Vox Morts and Monoxus. Seems like there's history there that we shouldn't get involved in. So, yeah.
I'll hand you the butterfly net, and then... I don't really want to just, like, charge in there. Well, maybe I do.
Maybe try being diplomatic first and see how that goes. I don't know.
I mean,
I'm speaking for myself here. But like,
yeah, Yashi, you see your mom standing there just surveying the room. Doesn't seem like she's maybe noticed your corner or anything.
Okay, and what's Monoxus doing? Just, like, looking at them like, oh, my God.
You look back to where you last saw Monoxus, and it looks like Monoxus is kind of remelded back into that mound. But you knew Monoxus was there last. It's hard to see her, but it just looks like that large mound that you saw before she had initially kind of sloughed it off.
Okay. I'm going to, like, grip my hammers real tight and kind of run out there to join my mom.
Okay. So you begin making your way, charging out into the middle of the vault to meet your mom. Randy and Razzle, you wind up hanging back. The sound of wings buffeting the air is heard with a roar that reverberates the chamber. Monoxus reveals herself, taking flight while exhaling a payload of poisonous fumes on one of the squad of orcs. You see four out of the five just collapse onto the ground motionless. The fifth heads over to a different squad. They split into two squads of three and begin to spread out again. The plants covering the floor begin to shift and build a wall of prickly vines and thorny branches about 60 feet long in the middle of the room. Yashi, as you're running, this starts to build up around you. I want you to make a dexterity save real quick. Add advantage because of your keen senses on that.
And just to make sure, we're standing by like the waterfall or like the lake portion, Randy and I.
The vault that you're in is on the opposite side of the pond.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, well, that's an unnatural 20 for me.
That is going to do it, I tell you what.
Just since I'm heading in, can I real quick knock back one of those greater healing potions that I have?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a 44 plus 4, which is 15.
Okay. As you're running, you're knocking back this potion. These vines begin to grow and wrap around, creating this prickly, thorny branched wall about 60 feet long. You dodge out of the way of it. You see your mom and a couple of the other orcs in different squads dodge out of the way of it. But three are consumed by the plants, and it winds up separating a couple of the groups, the wall being about 5 foot thick. Zoltara begins bellowing out commands to her fighters, and the orcs start regrouping the best that they can, considering this wall has grown up, and they draw out rope darts. They start swinging them around, and they launch them at Monoxus as she's flying by. Four manage to pierce the dragon's hide, and the orcs are lifted up as they hold the ropes, trying to anchor the dragon down.
It's like a parade balloon.
Yes, pretty much. So, Chaosos, again, you see all this happening, but what do?
I'm going to turn to Randy and say... Hey, try, like, catching me with that net. Just try, like, putting it over my head. Let's just see what happens.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to do a butterfly check.
What?
That's a 19.
Okay, Razzle, you instruct Randy to put the net on your head. Randy, you do that, nothing happens.
Well, it was worth a shot.
You have a net on your head.
I guess I'll put it on my own head.
And?
Now Randy has the net on his head.
Great.
That's about the extent of what we do in 6 seconds.
And on to Yashi.
Okay, cool. I think I'm going to just keep running towards my mom.
Nice.
Because I'm really excited to see her.
Chariots of Fire plane.
But I'm going to go ahead and cast Featherfall on the four orcs that are now up in the air. Just to give them, you know, just in case something happens.
Okay.
They can float safely to the ground.
Totally.
Nice.
Okay. They are definitely within range, so you're making your way towards your mom. You're dodging out of the way of this wall of vines and thorns that came up, and you bust out your mallets to start performing Featherfall.
And here it is. Said baby, you're gonna land a little more lightly. And after all, got is doing faster. Sir, you're casting Featherfall.
You know, okay. It's really great that the first thing your mom's going to hear is essentially a Wonderwall cover as you run towards her.
You've learned so much in bard school, I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah, she's quite the hit at parties, Mrs. Foxmore.
So you complete your Featherfall spell as you are reaching up to your mom. The sound of your drums echoing throughout as you approach. You see your magic take effect on the four orcs that are trying to act as anchors to Monoxus. Your mom looks over as you're completing your spell, kind of looking a little confused to see you here.
I got a big old smile on my face.
Your mom gives you this look that you remember from when you were training with her many years ago that just tells you, be ready.
Kyle's wagging his fingers.
I'm wagging my fingers.
It's very emphatic.
Don't you forget.
Yeah. But yeah, she's just like, be ready.
And I am. I get very serious, like, okay.
You return the look, no problem. It's at this point that the other squads begin to move toward the four that had landed their rope darts previously. Monoxus takes a moment, leering back at the swinging orcs. One of them releases the rope, terrified, and luckily, thanks to Yashi casting Featherfall, drifts down to the ground safe, not being injured.
I just call, you're welcome.
Waves and like says, thanks. But Monoxus continues taking the other three for a ride around this vault. Monoxus nearing one of the other squads of three, an orc grabs another by the foot, boosting him up into the air.
Oh, nice.
And that one grabs the free anchor as it wails through the air, and the dragon lilts to one side briefly and then corrects. The tail flicks back, trying to attempt to strike one of the other orcs, but misses, and then you see five more of these anchors sink into the scales of Monoxus. Slowly but surely, they begin pulling her down to the ground, just completely grounding this vile creature.
Yes.
And
it's like the Barney float. You guys remember?
Yes.
Bring it down.
But this Barney float is cursing and swearing and roaring and asking, where the hell is Greg? They finally have Monoxus anchored near one of these roaring pyres, and they have her facing it, her face not more than maybe 10 feet away from it.
Uh-oh.
Zoltara begins to step forward, twirling her maul like a baton, and says, how about I do you a favor and fix what I did to that jaw of yours? And as Zoltara approaches, Monoxus rears back in one more attempt to break free, buffeting her wings. Zoltara stands strong, weapon in hand, but the orcs, holding Monoxus's anchors by her head, lose control.
Uh-oh.
Monoxus cranes her neck to face Zoltara and begins to open her mouth, revealing these necrosed, vented tubes near the back of her throat. Those vents begin to open up, and you see Zoltara begin to take a step back. Yashi, what do you do?
Oh, okay. Oh my. I'm going to shout out, oh hell no! And I'm going to start running in. I want to jump up on Monoxus's back, up towards her neck, and I'd like to use my hammer mallets and the reach that they have to kind of like rope them, like send them off in opposite directions around and into her mouth to kind of like use them almost like a bridle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And ride freaking Monoxus.
Yeah. It looked like they were trying to point its mouth at like one of the fires, right?
Yeah. That's what it looked like. They had Monoxus's face anchored down like next to one of these like burning pyres.
Okay. I'm going to assume that was for a good reason. And so I'd like to throw my mallets around so that they kind of like meet in the middle inside her mouth and like connect, and then I want to pull back on them.
Okay.
So that I can control where her head is facing. Can I do that?
Yeah. Give me a couple of rolls. Are you raging right now?
Seems likely.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
I need you to give me an athletics check to make your way up Monoxus. Shouldn't be too difficult. She is still anchored down, but...
Okay, that is an 18.
Okay, easily. You make your way up Monoxus, climbing up her anchored down legs and making your way up her neck. You begin to swing your mallets around. Go ahead and give me your attack roll.
Yeah, so awesome.
10 plus 9.
Okay.
19.
With a 19, you swing your mallets around. You feel them connect and loop around each other. You pull tight and you pull the leather straps back and you feel it hit the back of Monoxus's jaws and you feel in control in this moment.
Nice. I'm going to pull on them so that her face is right back where they had it originally.
Okay. I need you to give me a strength check.
And how far away are Randy and Razzle from all of this?
Probably say you're about 100 feet away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Strength check is 23.
That easily beats Monoxus's roll of a natural 9. So so you begin controlling and maneuvering. Randy, Razzle. You see all of this begin to go down. You notice that it looks like the situation that was once under control is no longer under control. Yashi seems to be working pretty well at this moment, but you're not sure how it's going to turn out. There are definitely some orcs nearby that could be in danger, and of course, Yashi's mom, Zoltara, is standing there as well in a potential danger area.
Cal, you were saying the orcs were trying to aim Monoxus's head at these, like, fire things, right? Whatever kind of showed up when they first showed up.
Man, okay. You better be careful, like, I don't know, not to say it like this, but it's Cal. Like, who knows what's going to happen?
Well, sure, but we could potentially infer that was intentional, right?
I tell you what, roll me an insight check.
Okay.
NPCs interacting. If there's one thing we've learned from Kyle, it's to not take that for granted.
Oh, no. Yeah, right. 11 plus 4, 15.
Okay, so what you know, because you know Yashi and you know she has dark vision, they definitely don't need this fire to be able to see.
Right.
So it is not meant for that. It is a very tactical use. There's no kind of organization to it. It's scattered just here and there. But you do see that, like, yes, they intend to use this fire not to burn the beast, but in some other method, which you're not exactly sure how it's going to be implemented, but there is a use for these pyres.
But there is a use for
it. There may be a ticking clock on this whole Monoxus situation.
Yeah, but I can, like, see that they're trying to aim, or that Yashi is now trying to aim Monoxus's head towards one of these.
Yes.
Okay, and Monoxus's mouth is open, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to, since I know fire seems like it matters, even though I don't know what exactly, I'm just going to try to launch a little fireball, or technically a chromatic orb.
Okay.
So I'd like to move 10 feet forward and then launch a chromatic orb of fire into the mouth of Monoxus, please.
That Yashi's currently sitting on? Are you sure?
It's a 4-inch ball of fire.
Well, okay, yeah. Well, light a match next to a propane tank. Like,
it'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, go ahead and give me your spell attack.
That is a 16 plus 5.
That's definitely going to hit.
Okay, so Randy pulls up his shirt, and for the first time in quite a while, and says, Delia, light it up.
Oh, no.
This long, elegant hand comes out of your belly button and begins to kind of, like, swirl, like...
Like a basketball on her finger?
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah, starts to spin this, like, basketball of fire on her finger, and then, like, takes it and 3-point shoots it, and it winds up just sailing, arcing over towards Monoxus's mouth. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Okay. Oh, and I'm sorry, I'm going to cast it at a second level. So
good to know.
Please let Delia say buckets as it hits.
That'll be 26 points of fire damage.
Very good. All right, I will get into the description of that here in a moment, but it definitely hits, and Delia says, Goodrich.
Oh, buckets!
Yes, Delia says,
rain dance.
Buckets.
Oh,
buckets.
So good. Can I do my thing, too? I want to do something.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Okay. Well, because, like, I've been trying to play Razzle, like, a little bit more detached after, like, Rock Deep and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Greg situation was maybe the first test of that, of him being just like, whatever, like, you know... So anyways, but I was going to try to
Starting to get emo, Raz.
I mean, it's maybe a little bit. Yeah. But yeah.
It's okay. Fling your hair off to the side.
Yeah, swish. But yeah, so I've been trying to, like, do that, especially with this, but seeing that Yashi's maybe in danger, and especially seeing Zoltara in danger, I think Razzle's going to step up and cast Moonbeam, and I'm going to cast it right on Monoxus's keister, I think.
Oh, so no.
That, okay, yeah.
Just so that it's far away from Yashi.
Man.
The moon is going straight to her moon.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different kind of Moonbeam. So I'm going to cast it at a fourth level, so that means right. It's going to be 4d10.
Oh, does she make a constitution save?
Yes, sir.
She passes it.
So 24 total.
All right, 24 takes it down to 12 with the passings. So let me describe what happens here.
Oh boy.
Yashi has climbed up and taken the reins on Monoxus, forcing her head back in front of one of these flaming pyres while this ball of fire comes arcing out of nowhere, just like a comet across the sky. A beam comes through one of the holes in the ceiling of the vault and just shines down right on Monoxus's tail. Finally, you see Monoxus's breath weapon erupt from her mouth. The flame from the chromatic orb instantly catches. You see there's a splash point that ignites, and the flame just travels right back into Monoxus's mouth, and you see her mouth snap closed with a bit of a trail of smoke going off. And then all of a sudden, there's this muffled but very audible boom of an explosion.
Like when the Looney Tunes eat a bomb and it's just like boom.
Exactly. You even see part of Monoxus's side just distend for half a moment. And then it kind of goes back down. The explosion that happens near her mouth, though, with that igniting, Yashi, I need you to give me a strength saving throw.
That is a 23.
You manage to hold on. Like, the force of the explosion is so forceful, you just have to hold on for dear life. And you manage to do so, not falling off the back, and a plume of smoke escapes from her mouth as her head falls lifeless to the ground. Yashi, you kind of riding it as it collapses, landing, and then, like, sliding off to the side to stand next to your mom as she just stands there, mouth agape, looking at you.
And I do a little, like, fancy hammer swinging stuff. I toss them up in the air and I catch them real cool. Like, do you like that move?
She looks at you, a tear welling up in her eye. She wipes it away, and then you see her turn, holding her massive maul into the air, and she screams out, "Vox Mort!" And the rest of them yell out, "Ha gagne!" And after that, they begin to bust out into a celebration of their victory over the dragon.
Heck yeah.
All right.
Zoltara, of course, she's still wet from emerging from the water, so a little bit of hair smeared to her face. It's purple. It's bound up and clasped in certain areas. But in those areas, it's really neatly managed to help kind of keep it out of your face in the midst of combat and everything.
Right.
Muscular, very athletic build, very similar to Yashi. And she's wearing these dark orange-hued leathers, and the jewelry she's wearing are dotted with blue and orange gems. And the maul that she carries is this just, on the end of it, it's this large white stone sphere. And it's speckled with all these different little colors.
Mm, nice.
Oh, right. The jawbreaker?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, it is the jawbreaker.
White was speckled. Okay, yeah, that's great.
Yes.
Nice.
Zoltara kind of takes a moment and turns towards you and just embraces you, Yashi. She pulls you in and she's whispering in your ear. She's saying, "I'm so sorry I left. I know I apologized for having to leave, but now I'm apologizing to you for leaving."
It's that's okay. Wait, you know what? Let's talk about this later. Big moment for all of us, right? I'm patting her on the back.
Okay.
Well, let's celebrate. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, okay. And you see her turn, and she starts to quiet down the orcs, and she brings one over, gives them instructions to start setting up a little camp area, collecting the bodies for funeral rites and everything. At this point, Randy and Razzle, you kind of see that battle is ended. And they are starting to maneuver around. What are you two doing, realizing this?
I'm going to turn to Randy and be like, "Oh, great shot. Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, dude, well, thanks. Well, that was Delia.
I don't know, you had it in you."
Delia from downtown.
Downtown!
Should we go check on Yashi?
I don't know. Should we, like, give him a second?
Well, yeah, maybe we should. We can watch from a distance.
And we wait. Some more.
Yes. Okay. So Zoltara finishes giving those commands to her next of rank and everything. Turns back to you, Yashi, and she kind of sits down on the ground and she pulls you down with her. She's still, you've grown a lot over the last few years, so it's a little weird for her. She's kind of clumsy about trying to still, like, sit you down as if you're still a kid.
She's trying to, like, cradle me, and I'm like, "No, I couldn't cradle myself.
I'm an adult."
Yeah, she's almost, like, trying to pull you into her lap to be like,
"So, you know, your battle prowess is very becoming of a daughter of the Voxmort tribe, so, but that's..."
"Oh, thanks, yeah, I just learned about that recently, being a daughter of the Voxmort tribe. You know, it's okay, though. No, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, okay? I've learned a lot. I had a conversation with Dad a while ago, but in the future, too. He doesn't remember it. Don't ask him about it. It'll just make him sad, because I wasn't very nice.
You weren't very nice to Dad?"
"Well, no, I just, you know, I got a little upset with him, because I just didn't understand some things. But then I took a trip to this really magical place called a library, and there's all this information there, so I was able to read up a little bit about who the Volksmar were, and that's how I kind of discovered that I was part of that tribe because of my my symbol.
Your mark,
My marking, yeah. My friends helped me through a lot of that and kind of
she's looking around
some
like,
understanding.
Friends?
Oh, I have friends.
And then Yashi holds up her mouth. It's, you know, my friends.
Yeah. All this is to say I've been through a lot, I've learned a lot, and, like, we're all good here. I know that doesn't help you get over some stuff, but, I'm certainly, you know, past a lot of maybe resentment that I could have been feeling, but I'm not now. So, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm going to have a weird time wrestling with that emotion. I haven't.
You've never had a hard time wrestling with anything. I've seen it.
She slugs you in the arm, says, you know it.
I'm sure you've got this. You know, I would love to meet the rest of the tribe here, but would you like to meet some of my friends?
Absolutely. Yeah? I know you went to learn music, but you're fighting. I don't know who taught you. Did your friends teach you this?
So, I mean, no. Definitely not.
I've actually... These are all, you know, when you play D&D for long enough, you get these level things, and then you just kind of learn stuff. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
I actually have some great teachers. They gave me these leather straps that you see. That's why I was able to do what I was able to do today. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how much you know about, I mean, anything. You know, I'm sure you're a smart lady, but...
I mean, if it's about this cult business... And,
it kind of is, you know, so complicated.
Alfric let me know a little bit.
What did he tell you?
Well, he told me that there's a cult that wants you, and you know how to do magic with time.
Yeah. You know, okay, great.
They both kind of sounded very panicked. Your dad especially. Yes. He barely even could get words out.
But you talked to him. That's good.
I would call it talking, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, you know him. He's always a little on edge. So essentially, because of the magic and the time stuff, we had this whole other life, and then we made some mistakes and went back in time, and this is take two.
Oh,
so
good.
I've actually learned a lot, and then it doesn't seem like I've been gone that long, but it's been a long time. It's a lot to take
in. Where are these friends of yours?
Oh, yeah. Hey, hello. Hey, guys.
Oh, that's a signal. Let's go. Trot. And we race. Can we race over? Let's do it. It's furrier. Roll
a trying to show off.
No modifiers. Yeah.
They're both really fast. Watch this.
Randy's like dimension door.
Got a 6. Yeah.
Got a 14.
Razzle immediately trips. Falls.
Yeah. Or we can say that Randy trips you.
Yeah, there you go.
It's
better.
Yeah, there it is.
While they're not, you know, the most athletic of sort. I mean, really, Randy, you should see him flip through the air. It's quite beautiful.
Oh.
And then there's Razzle.
He does all right for himself. Anyways, hi.
Hello. So these are my buds. I've been spending a lot of time. I feel like I've really grown up a lot because of their friendship.
Well, that's good. Emotional maturity is a very good thing to have. That's something I learned along the way with your father, and something I was very happy to be able to, you know, at least raise you in some kind of family that had something like that. So I hope we offered you a good foundation for that. But
and I've been trying to help with that too. You know, I'm just learned, you know, recently lots of things, and you know, you can't save everyone, but you can certainly try. That's basically where my head's at after all this encounter in this little tomb. So I feel better. Maybe.
And on a tangent, Yashi, sorry for sort of blowing up a dragon while you were on top of it. Didn't fully think that one through. I didn't know that was going to happen, so.
It was very fun. I thought, maybe I'll go flying. Who knows?
I was going to say, it was stylish, so.
And Randy has sort of, you know, thrill issues sometimes, too. So, you know, he's...
Yeah. You know, he can't read words, but he can certainly read a situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's more important to life and death.
I think
so.
Yeah.
True. I mean, we found out about it last time we were fighting Monoxus when we ran her out of Arlen.
Oh.
We had some fire and she had blown her breath weapon at it. We noticed it ignited, but she closed her mouth before it could get back in there. But
she had mentioned like eating some Voxmorts and like just being a general sort of not great person dragon.
I mean, at least a couple, I mean, dragons are normally pretty evil, so you know, if you got one in your land, you usually want to get them out of there.
Right, as possible.
I feel like we're talking across the fence, you know, I got some dragons in my yard. You know, you just got to get rid of them as soon as possible.
We felt bad. You know, we ran her out of Arlen and then we noticed she was flying towards Beatsart and we're like, well, that's not cool. So we started getting our little ward band together to go after her, and that's when I got the call from Alfric and your father, and I was like, well, Might as well see who of the Voxmort tribe wants to take a little bit more people over to Beatsart, because it sounds like y'all might need us? I don't know.
Yeah, there's sort of like a big thing, storm coming.
It feels that way, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to a place soon where, like, probably more will be explained.
Oh, yeah, you guys should come with us. We're heading to these big trees, and we're going to meet up with Alfric and I think Dad and some other people.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, we've got the people of the Voxmort tribe that decided to come back to Beatsart. There's still some in Arlen, but there were some that were willing to come back so we could kind of make our encampments where we need to and help support you in fighting this cult. It sounded like it was enough to where you had to time travel, whatever that means.
Had to time travel is...
It was kind of a mess.
Yeah, a little bit. But we handled it.
It's in some ways worked out, and then in some ways hasn't. So.
Well, you can rest assured knowing you got the Voxmort tribe at your back right now, and
nice.
Our voices will be heard.
Heck yeah. Well, we've got all this dragon loot. Can probably score some sweet stuff from that.
Right.
But after we do that, and you know, maybe rest up a little bit, I was thinking, maybe, I don't know if Yashi has told you this, but we can
I've been talking to her for like 5 minutes. So Well, I haven't gotten to get around to much, no.
Yeah, we're kind of still getting acquainted. You really know how to take charge. You must, you know.
He does
You have some leadership in you, huh?
Yeah.
He's a prince, you know, it's fine.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. A dwarven prince. Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's a fancy one.
All
right. Yeah, party.
Don't see many of your type around Arlen, but you know.
Well, and there's like a fun story. I mean, some of it's not fun, but.
It's not fun, no.
There's a story there with him and his dwarves, and I guess we'll get into that later? Now?
Maybe.
No, I tell you what. I'm just going to go and say this out front. You know, I get it. I know where you're from, your royalty, and I know our history. Those tales have been passed down. And, you know, the real tales?
I freaking love Zoltara. We're just going to get this out of the way.
Just rip the bandage right off. Yeah, there's a little hair near that wound, but that's okay. You got to pull some hairs
and
for things to heal.
And on Razzle's case, like a lot of hair. He's very hairy. You
know. I can see
Randy
that.
Well, Randy, too. They're both, there's a lot of hair there.
Yeah, so anyways, just to get out of the way, I am Razzle, Dazzle's son. Don't know if you've heard about Dazzle and what's happened. Dazzle has passed on.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Yeah, it was hard. However, the person who enacted this heinous deed has been dealt with, was sent by this cult. So
yeah, it all comes back to the cult. So.
Yeah, so they're just a source of all sorts of things. Some of them small, some of them large. Just generally, it feels like we need to at least talk with them face to face. We've been kind of running errands for them, which still gets under my skin. Especially seeing that this butterfly net, just anybody, it seems like, could have shown up, you know, if they just know the sweet passcode, so...
Wait, you came here for a butterfly net?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
we did.
But it's, I mean, we think there's more going on, you know?
I sympathize with losing your father. To get into it just a little bit, Yashi, I had to go back to the tribe because your grandfather was getting sick, and my brother used to be a cool dude. And I don't know what happened over the years I was gone, but became a total bad dude.
Oh.
Not good at all. Wanted to fight. Turns out he was poisoning Dad. Wound up killing Dad trying to take over the tribe. So I had to straight murder him.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Yikes. That is awkward.
Well, that's a lot. See, and this is why I kind of got upset with Dad when we talked about it, because, like, he didn't have these details for me. There were a lot of holes in his story.
Well, there are some things I didn't want to tell him because I knew he's not... I mean, your dad's good at keeping secrets, but he's not good at keeping things necessarily from you. He's got a very, you know... He's got a soft spot for you, and I think, you know, if really pressed, you probably could have gotten a lot out of him, but, you know, you're young. There are a lot of things that I don't think you were ready to hear or understand or would have understood considering you weren't raised within the tribe.
Right.
But we're here now, and you're here. You know, like, say hello to your family.
Oh, and I realize they're all staring at me, right, Kyle?
Yeah, they're all kind of, they're all kind
staring
of watching
at me this whole time.
Some are just straight up just observing while others are obviously setting up while kind of keeping an ear out. You know, nobody else is talking. Everybody's kind of listening.
listening. At this moment, yeah, they all kind of stop and look towards you four sitting on the ground having your little
just chatting
talk.
On the floor. And I look back and I go, "Oh yeah. Hello.
That's me.
I'm Yasharak. I don't know if you've heard about me, but I hope we could be friends."
They all turn almost simultaneously, and you see them place their hand over their heart, making a V with their hand, kind of like the Vulcan symbol.
Oh, nice.
And I whisper, "I don't know what that means. Are we friends?
Just do it back. It's V for Vox Morton. Just do it back.
Okay. Y'all too also.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and they all kind of do that, and then you see them, like, break and go back to setting their things up.
Okay, people of a few words, you know.
Off to a good start.
I'll have to start getting in there and meeting everyone later.
It'll come with time, you know. So
what's the situation, though? Because, like, Dad did talk to me about why you had to, like, leave in the first place, and it was kind of because of, like, your relationship with him and because of me a little, or...
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, are they cool with me, though?
Listen, little Tusk, which, speaking of, you're taking care of your tusks correctly, like
Thank
I showed you,
yes,
you, yeah?
I
they were just coming
them.
In when I left, so...
I polish them, I floss them every night.
Okay, good. Well, listen, little Tusk, there are a lot of things that I didn't like about my family and the way we handled things in the past, and it's a big reason as to why I left with your dad. But now that I have the opportunity to go back and really take the reins of this situation, you know, pun intended, since you did that earlier, I can call the shots, and I'm excited about being able to move our people in this direction. I think it's going to open a lot of opportunities for us, and while still maintaining the heart of what we stand for and the soul of our people.
And they're all mostly on board with that, or is there a lot of, like...
there's a little bit of fight back, but that's mostly from, like, the older people, you know. They're the ones who, like, first discovered us using dynamite when we got to Ireland, so we call them boomers, but, you know. They'll come around eventually, I'm sure.
Okay,
you know.
Well, I just want to make sure everybody here is, like, cool and not just, like, trying to be cool to my face, but, like, talking about me behind my back. I'm not interested in the drama.
No.
Okay?
No drama. We've made enough progress over the last few years to really show the merits of my leadership. You know, it's something I take very seriously, and seriously enough to have left my family.
Yeah.
Well, I left my family to be with a family, and then I went back to it. It's confusing.
And now you're coming back to family with your family, and so now one big family.
I'm bringing family back to family, yo.
Yeah, well, and speaking of family, like, my mom, you know, also back there in the Udalali clan, she definitely wants to, you know, be friends and stuff, too.
Oh,
like,
you'll love his mom. She's so cool.
Yeah, she's pretty great. But yeah, she was talking about all the misunderstandings and things of the past. And, you know,
it was a real, real bad situation. A lot of confusion and, you know, inciting caused by that. I think it was some kind of new government going around or something. Our people kind of were just like, yo, we're going to dip on this.
So there's hairy stuff, but.
It might be another thing to deal with in addition to the cult.
Depending on what different people know and everything, I just need to know, like, hey, if I bring my people to battle, like, you know, and they're going to be battling beside your people, we're going to be good, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, if we can all unite under the banner of Chaos Sauce and, you know, we can maybe play a song to, like, inspire, which that kind of goes back to the thing I was going to say earlier of, like, how we play songs and do things with those songs to, like, influence reality, I guess?
That's, yeah.
Yeah, we should be pretty good on that, I think. Well, so,
what's an example? The time thing is the only thing I know of.
You want an example? Yeah, well, so again, going back to what I was saying, I was thinking, let me know what Yashi and Randy, what you two think about this. I was thinking that maybe we could do one of our songs to create, like, a portal of sorts to go straight to the discordant fields or the trees.
Ooh, right.
And just above table real quick, this is something I've been kind of wanting to do in general, to, like, a fast travel spell, per se.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, as Razzle, I'd be like, yeah, I kind of don't really know why we haven't done one yet. That would have probably saved us a lot of time, but yeah, we've had some fun adventures along the way, so maybe it could be dangerous. It could be a little risky.
Very.
I like danger.
Like everyone? Like all of the orcs too?
Well, maybe.
That's a lot of people.
Well, we got a lot of orcs waiting nearby.
Maybe just the three of us and Mrs. Voxmort? Bordune?
Voxmort's right. Orphil and I never really got an opportunity. Well, we had opportunities. I just want to be able to tie the knot like, you know, we tie the knot. And
I think
that's something I'm hoping I can finally get done.
And she starts to elbow Yashi.
Uh-oh, I smell some nuptials. Okay, well, that can be later.
I'm picking it up. Okay, we'll talk about this.
Yeah. She gives a real toothy, like, you know, underbitten grin.
And I hand her a card. Okay, Chaos, if you need a band for the reception, you know.
I'm not playing at my parents' wedding. Right. What's your problem?
Oh, that's kind of for them to just... Anyways, we'll talk about it later. Anyways, cool. So... yes? Maybe we give it a shot?
I can let, you know, my second in command know what they need to do, where they need to go, if you can give me, like, specific instructions on how to get there. That way, you know, they can meet up with us, and I can travel with y'all. You know, I think I'd rather at this point, Yashi, I'd hate to just, you know, we meet, and then all of a sudden, like,
oh, no.
Bye. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind sticking around a little while, that'd be cool, hanging out with me.
Because, yeah, I mean, we should probably try to get there as soon as possible to get the ball rolling on this, so.
Yeah, a little bit.
Show me how you do this magic music business. I'm excited to see what you've learned, kiddo.
Okay.
All right.
Sweet.
Yeah, we could do this.
Let's roll some chord. Let's roll some chord dice.
So after thinking more about it, I kind of realized, like, well, this is supposed to be a song to, like, shorten our travels and everything. But if it fails, it could just make everything way longer.
Or make the podcast way shorter.
Oh, boy.
I'll just tell my mom, like, hey, I didn't say we were good at it. I just said we could.
We could try.
It's possible, yeah.
Major, minor, mode, maybe?
Well, my first thought with thinking about, like, a portal and, I don't know, like, traveling, it felt kind of, like, ethereal or flying or something and, like, makes me go Lydian.
Oh.
Because it's been a while since we've done Lydian, if we'd all be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Putting on your OST brain, I see, Spurrier. Very nice. Well, and also, we have modulations now. Do we want to really show off to Yashi's mom and say, look what we're going to do?
Why not?
So to pick, that's a D4. So I'll roll that. It's a 3, which is secondary pivot.
Nice.
Okay. So that just gives us a wild then to get into the new key.
Cool.
Okay.
Well, I guess before I do that, I should roll the keys to see what we're going to do.
Oh, boy.
Yes. 9. Oh, we finally did it. You guys aren't doing this, but I've been keeping track of all the keys we've rolled. We finally rolled A flat. So, huzzah.
Oh, nice.
Dope.
We've now played a song in all the keys. Congratulations.
It only took 4 years.
Podcast over.
And the second one is 3, which is D.
Tritone away.
Tritone
as they can get.
So,
beautiful.
Okay, that is 5, 6, and 7.
Ooh.
So I guess that'll just go for each of the keys, the chords, 5, 6, and 7, in the key of A flat Lydian and D Lydian.
And it really only will affect 7, so that'll be fine.
It'll be fine. So that's it for the chords. So drums, I guess we're going logic, huh?
Yes.
Yes.
So Kyle, a D7, please.
That'll be a 4.
So rhythm and blues, traveling across time and space. Okay, a D3.
I'm going to have the real folk blues. It'll be great.
That's a 2. Tell me about it.
2, that's our friend Curtis with his neo-soul. So then a D8 twice.
4 and 5.
Okay, so Curtis is going to teach us to play the game using rim shots.
What? But I'm chill.
I already lost it.
Then a coin flip, whoever wants to do that.
I got it. Whoa.
Do it.
Whoopsies. Try that again. There it is. Tails.
Tails, all right. So electronic drum, so I'll do that. D93, boop, boop, boop.
Another electronic set? Dang.
I mean, if you want to flip heads, that would be fine.
Well,
you know?
I can't do that.
So that's an 84, so it's going to be tension. The tension.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Under tension.
Well, y'all have fun figuring that out, and for those of you at home, I'll talk to you in a second.
Hey everyone, it's your Dungeon Maestro Kyle here. Just want to take a moment and say thanks for dropping by. Pull up a chair, stay a while. I appreciate it, and I like having the company here in the middle bit. So, want to tell you about today's supporter for the episode, and that supporter is Realms of Peril and Glory, which is an all-new actual play podcast set in the homebrew setting of Vale. Now, their first season, they're working on an epic mystery thriller set in the city of magic monsters and machines, known as New Harbor. So this hilarious and heartfelt season kicks off with 3 episodes that are out now, and there's new episodes dropping every Wednesday after that, so you're going to get content week after week. Also, you can expect beautiful sound design that reflects the players' voices and features a custom score that brings you straight into the action. But you know what? I could go on about it, but why not just let them tell you a little bit about it and get a little bit of a taste of the sauce they're serving up?
Welcome to Realms of Peril and Glory, an all-new actual play podcast.
There are guided tours once a week. Come on, Dark Brennan.
How about you, you filthy timepiece?
RPG is home to hilarious stories.
The thing that kicks off a really good tale is...
When they take their tops off.
Sorry?
When you're reading, like... Don't worry.
And thrilling adventures.
There's bad guys, there's an ogre. Probably best if you stay here. Sorry, I'll be back soon.
Why am I tied up?
That was your sibling, not me. Bye.
Each season is an all-new actual play story told collaboratively at the table, featuring guest players from the Magnus Archives.
I remember being in the water, and that was awful. And now I'm not in the water, and that's... much better.
Wooden overcoats.
I am a snowman. I have one job, and that is to stand in place. I was doing that very well.
Yes, and she might come back 9 times more powerful with lots of food and kippers.
We fix space junk.
On the surface, you might look different, but you're very, very similar inside. And I can vouch for that.
And more.
What I am about to tell you stays in this room. Got it?
Don't happen know where there's like secret plans about meat and smoothies.
Ducks? Did you say ducks? Did you say ducks? Did you say duck?
You can find Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're going to have a good laugh, then we're going to possibly cry, and then we'll grab dinner.
All right, thank you to Realms of Peril and Glory for supporting us this week. And you can find and listen to Realms of Peril and Glory anywhere you listen to podcasts, which I recommend because I checked out an episode. That sound design they're talking about, Chef Kiss. I don't want to kiss into the mic. You know what? Chef Kiss. And also the descriptions that are served up pull you right in. So head on over, check out Realms of Peril and Glory anywhere you get podcasts. All right, just to let you know our upcoming schedule, it's gotten back to normal. So October 5th, we'll have episode 77. On October 19th, we're going to have episode 78. And Goodrich wanted to mention that if you had some trouble understanding Monoxus, what with the vocal effects that we had on there in episode 75, go on over to babardicast.com/transcripts, and you can hear a cut of episode 75 that doesn't have those vocal effects in there. So other than that, don't forget our Die Hard Dice promo code, which is now just Bombarded. So save yourself 10%. Send on your order at checkout, and you know our social media at BombardedCast, hashtag BardCast, BombardedCast.com, Patreon.com/BombardedCast, and thank you to Jake Bianchi, Kelvin Horatio, Kay Best, and Pat Tang Bizgar, my Patreon producers. I appreciate you so much, and everyone else out there, I appreciate you as well. Now let's get back to this show and see what these bards have cooked up. I'll talk to y'all later. So, you're preparing to play this magical song, and there's this nagging voice in the back of your mind that says, wasn't there loot?
Oh, right.
We should do that first.
Yeah.
Right. Let's get our treasures.
So I'll go, 1 second, Mom. Let's circle back to this in 5 minutes.
Right on.
Rattle says, dibs on the mithril, and I run over to it.
Okay. So you get over there and grab that. That pretty much makes your armor. It's 15 plus dexterity.
So sweet.
Dexterity gets a max of 2.
Nice. Because, yeah, my AC is garbage. So
yeah, we'll fix that.
Yeah.
The rest of it, you know, there's the fish and shell motifed armor. There's a ring that also has kind of fins and other aquatic etchings on it. And then there's a potion that has a label that just says potion of cold resistance on it. It's got a little snowflake on there.
Oh, nice.
There's a little snowflake inside that twirls around, constantly spinning, you know, indefinitely.
Aww, cute.
We'll pretend I play identify real quick on all this stuff.
Okay, well, the things you need to identify for sure are the ring of swimming, which pretty much gives you a swim speed of 40 feet while wearing it. And then the armor with the fish and shell motifs, that's mariner's armor, which that'll give you a 13 plus dexterity to your AC for a max of 2 dexterity. So if you have a 3, you can only use 2 of the 3. But the mariner's armor, essentially what it does, it if you like go unconscious underwater, it's going to raise your body to the surface.
Oh, nice. Spurrier? Is there a particular one calling you?
Yeah, Randy wouldn't really benefit from armor, so I guess if I could have the ring, that would be cool.
Okay, then I will take that armor and bump my AC up a little bit.
The mariner's armor also gives you a swimming speed equal to your walking speed.
Yo.
Nice.
And I guess I'll hold hold on to the cold resistance potion.
Sure.
If somebody needs it, then we'll have
just
it.
Just toss it out. Kyle, is there any, maybe some sweet cash?
There's
4,500 gold worth of coin.
Oh, my.
That's spread out between copper, silver, platinum, and some gems.
Maybe we take some and the Vox more take some?
Yeah,
the group
they
effort,
helped.
For sure.
They helped, yeah. Sure.
They did most of the work. Cool, we do that. So how much do we take each?
A thousand?
That's a lot.
Why not?
All right.
I mean, we haven't gotten more cash in a while. You know, we might need it for cult expenses.
Right. Well,
or
right
anti-cult expenses.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay.
So, leaving Zoltara on the cusp of receiving a song, you take this moment to go through all these things and get them together, and then you come back and say, okay, yeah, we're good to go now.
I hand her a sack of coin.
Here
say,
you go.
Here's this big sack.
All
right. I put it right in her hands.
She's just like, I mean, you know, it's not a bad size, but okay. And she hands it off to one of her.
Oh, I'll hand off 500 of mine to the other person, too. Like, we never use our money.
It's true.
So, we don't either.
Okay, great. Well.
So about that song, are we going to, what's up?
Before we go, I'm going to fill up my sponge real quick with some of this water.
How much can I fill up without damaging the environment, Kyle?
Well, it's a cubic mile, which is 1.1 trillion gallons of water.
Okay, I don't need that much.
Without damaging the environment? I honestly don't know how to answer that.
An Olympic-sized pool amount?
That would be
beep, bop,
about 660,000 gallons.
Perfect.
I'll half that. Just
great.
You know, for the world.
So 330,000 gallons. The pool is immediately just gone. You set your sponge to it, and it soaks it up in an instant.
In an instant? That's so dangerous. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I know, right? Oh. It's a really weird, like, ridiculously powerful item that somebody shouldn't have made.
Oh. It's a good thing we're leaving this place. Let's go.
Okay.
A one and a two.
Fast travel, a magic gateway. Jump into the portal that takes us far away to where we need to go.
Not too shabby. Very direct with the words. I can appreciate that.
This is the danger zone.
Yeah.
There's no time, Kyle.
No.
I think this has been the most straightforward song you've done.
I mean,
maybe
yeah.
That
being said, I think I'm going to give you a 90% chance of success.
All right.
So
honestly, higher than I thought. But
me too, kind of. But
I'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Could we, Kyle, rather than doing high or low, could we do like the middle? So as long as we don't like
sure.
get 1 to 5. Or 96 to 100, then we're fine.
You know, I actually have very good luck rolling in both of those ranges.
Oh,
so
well
yes.
Then, oh, no.
Let's see what happens. I rolled a 52.
Awesome.
Y'all would have been fine.
Oh,
no
man.
Matter what.
I was going to say take out 45 to 55 as the
Wow.
Amazing. So, as you are playing, your magic begins to pour forth from your instruments, creating this arch. And along the way, it creates three little nodes.
Oh.
The arch has this like black bar running down the center of it from beginning to finish. And as you continue to play, the black bar begins to fill up being blue with your magic. Hits the first node, and you see the image of a guitar show up. Ooh. And then you see on the next node, the image of a keyboard show up. And then on the third node, you see the image of drums show up. Ooh. And once it completes its trip all the way around the archway, you see the magic pour into the center and open up, and you see the three trees in the middle of the discordant fields.
Ooh.
You see two figures. They turn and look over their shoulders surprisingly at you from inside one of the trees. You see Orfel and Alfric staring back at you like, what?
Hi.
Let's wave.
Hi. Hi.
And we're going to end our episode with you stepping through the portal to the trees to meet up with at least Alfric and Orfel.
Nice.
For a second, I thought we were just going to play Rock Band. Oh, great. Let's do it.